come, Lord, and these men have taken time to prepare things to hopefully show us in the scriptures and give us greater knowledge and understanding of you. We're thankful for all that are here and the privilege that it is to be able to come here, Lord. We ask you to help us and remind us, Lord, not to take these things for granted, Lord, and hopefully go home tomorrow, Lord, and strengthen our home churches and bodies, those that aren't here, Lord, to hopefully be able to help them to grow by some of the things we learned here. And we ask for forgiveness of our sins and our prayers not be hindered, Lord, with those in need of your healing hand, Lord, for strength and other hindrances, Lord, to allow all of us to be in your house at this opportunity, Lord. And with the needs in the work, Lord, with the things we're dealing with and contending with, Lord, we ask for your hand, Lord, to intercede, Lord, and allow our way to prosper us going forward with our hopefully some evangelism opportunities like patient Bible schools and our church camp coming up also. And I pray for that.
All right. Of course, I've passed much whatever I jested that, you know, Brother Dixon, the lessons he was teaching, kind of going over, corresponding with some of the lessons I'm going on. But I've noticed that it's continuing. And so I appreciate it in that maybe we're able to expound on certain things. And maybe, I reference his class quite a bit because some of the things we're covering. Same thing's going on here, right, with what Brother Dixon's teaching and what I'm trying to go over with the origin of faith, being a living faith tied into the doctrines, right, that faith. There's going to be a lot of tie-in and a lot of things that we can glean from that class that he's been teaching. So hopefully we'll remember that. But the goal that I want to kind of reach through this lesson is this understanding of how crucial the written word God has given to us is in order to be pleasing to the Lord. And when we have the scriptures, in Hebrews, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Understand that that isn't just, well, I do believe, right? Faith, I do believe, I do trust. And so that kind of trust, that's how I can please Him. Well, that's not all that faith is referring to, right? And describing. A lot of people may believe, may trust, but then how does that translate, right? What are they, quote, trusting in? What is their belief centered around? And so hopefully we're able to tie these into the scriptures. I may make a lot of references, and you can put them, if you're taking notes, whatever, you can put them down in there. We may not read all of this just for time's sake, but I'll give you at least the scriptures and we'll talk about it. But again, we may not actually go to read some of this. So we started 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, where last night I wanted to just kind of get the distinction that the way God brought this out and the words that he used were very telling, right? In the first four verses or so, he was referencing every single individual. He used that word, all, so many times, right? All our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All baptized into Moses. All did eat the same spiritual meat. All drank the same spiritual drink. And so in our look at them as a picture or type of the New Testament church, as we have today, and that not just in the tabernacle, but their journey, them as a people, the things that they went through, all of that being a type of the New Testament church and the New Testament church age, the journey of that, we can put ourselves there, right? Think about, you know, the church that you're a part of, right? The church that you're a part of, obviously they were all under that cloud and passed through, all of them, right? All baptized with reference, obviously not to Christ or to Moses, but unto Christ, right? All did eat the same spiritual meat, right? Weren't they? They may not be there every time, but are they sitting under the same word all the time? Do they sit and have the same opportunities, the same types of abilities to hear that learning? All drank the same spiritual drink, right? they, you know, talking about here, that rock, the, you know, who do we preach? You know, does the church some get preached a different Christ, or do they all receive the same Christ, the same gospel, the same message? And then we get down there, they all receive this, but then in verse 5, many of them, and that pleon, if you want to, that's the Greek word used there, is it's a comparative word, meaning more in quantity, greater, the greater part. The greater part of them, God was not well pleased. The majority of the people, God wasn't happy with them, wasn't pleased with them. And then verse 7 down, he goes and talks about these individuals. Some of them went this direction. Some of them did this. Some of them did that. So in looking at this as a type, we've got to remember, okay, as a New Testament church, we all may be receiving and having the same things, but what is my living faith? What is my foundation? What am I rooted in? And as a pastor, obviously, you're looking at, make sure, okay, does everyone have the same foundation? Is everyone had the same? Are they rooted in the same beliefs? And you better know that it's not. Not everyone, just because you're preaching the same message, has the same understanding or lives the same life. Okay, you have to, as a pastor, realize that. Or a teacher, you have to enter into this opportunity to present, knowing that they all may smile and all nod and all agree, but they do not have this same understanding and not given over to that. All right. And again, a good picture of that. So in Numbers, the 10th chapter, I wasn't going to spend much time in this. Yes, go ahead. Numbers 10.
You may mention before, but people learn at different degrees. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to break it down and relate it to individuals and different for them all to get it. And that takes time.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. It does. And we need to understand that, know that. You know, and part of what I want to think about this morning is I know through when I began the classes back in the 90s, whatever, one of the things that was kind of hounded in to us through the lessons and all the teachers was that, you know, this opportunity, 1 Corinthians 10, all of us, this opportunity that we have, and being able to sit from the classes, listen from the different teachers. We've had so many different formats, way the teachers, you know, sometimes it was teachers coming every other time or whatever. But throughout all of it, it was understood that if my knowledge, me, right, as a young preacher, if I'm going to, put all my eggs in this basket, so to speak, and this is all I'm going to have, I'm going to be in trouble. I'm going to be in trouble. And they taught that. They said, we can't give you everything, right? We can't provide this. We can just give you tools so that you can go out and get it, right? So that you can do this. And I think sometimes we fall into the trap of we come, we take our notes, and then we go home, then we come, we take our notes, and then we go home, we come, we take our notes, thinking that, well, this is what I need. These classes, this is what, you know, fulfills our, I don't want to say obligation, but our ability to get to this next level. It's not, right? This, it's great that we come and that we listen and we partake, but this isn't the end all. This isn't going to provide you what you need. And if this is what you rely upon to put in your tool bag so that you can pull out later, you're going to realize, man, I'm not prepared. I'm not ready. It doesn't matter if it's a young preacher, a teacher, someone just come to want to grow. This isn't going to do that. And I shared this time and again, but I brought it up here because I keep this, you know, in my thing, whatever. When I surrendered back in 95, 2 months, 3 months afterwards, you know, I'm trying to think, how in the world? Because I came in blank, right? How am I going to get these doctrines and understand them and know them to where Brother Dixon was talking, to be able to teach or be able, you know, not just for my understanding, but how am I going to do this in a timely manner, right? This is going to take forever. You know, I wasn't, even though I was, quote, been in church for a while, and I didn't know these doctrines. Some of these things I never heard. Mm-hmm. And you realize I was 20, when did we come over? I was 20 something, 24, 23, whatever. The first time I ever heard the phrase New Testament church, I never heard that phrase before. Mm-hmm. I never heard scriptural baptism. Never heard that term. A lot of these things I never heard before. Even though I knew what baptism was, I never gave a thought of, well, a foreign, you know, immersion. I never heard of things that were out of ordinary. And so I came to this just blank. And so I realized that, you know, one of the things that, you know, high-priced education did for me, at least give me some understanding, it was related to me that you learn, well, we learn so much, so differently, each one of us, but in reality, it's pretty much all the same. And just, how do we learn anything? What is the means by which any of us learn? Doesn't matter what we learn. How do we learn it? What's that? Okay, well, but I don't even have that opportunity yet. How do we learn? Just, I mean, we're getting real basic here. Okay.
Over and over and over.
Pay attention.
Don't we do it by our senses?
Yeah.
Right? Have you ever heard, you've all heard the deal about blind men going up and touching this animal? And everyone giving a description of what it was, right? The elephant, because they each touched a different part. They were all describing something totally different. But to them, that's what it was, because they were using the sense of touch, right? We learn by senses, by what we touch, by what we see, smell, taste, right? Our senses give us the ability then to store things, right? To learn. As we're putting that. And I learned going through this, you know what? I learned what helped me. I had to write things down because I could see it. Mm-hmm. I was writing things down. And sometimes while I was writing it, I'd say it out loud. Because I now have not just one sense, right? Because one sense, if all I can do is touch, what am I learning? Isn't that very limited? But if I can touch it and see it, and maybe then smell it, and some things, you know, taste it. Some things I wouldn't advise to taste. But if we get all of our, the more senses we get involved, the more understanding we're going to have, right? And so I devise, right? You may use something different. Some people may put on their phones. I grabbed a 3x5, just a ring bound of note cards, and I just counted them out there. I have 52 different doctrines that I just literally wrote down. And I didn't have any scripture. I just picked one and just started putting on there. 52 teachings, doctrines of the scriptures. And then literally for each one of those, sometimes you could break it down to all its parts. Because like one of them, I have the Holy Spirit. Well, then I had to break it down, Holy Spirit as comforter, Holy Spirit as indweller. And then all the different works as indweller or the work as comforter. So you break that 52 down. Now, right, there might be 100 different topics. And you know what? That scared me. I pinned all it down, and I got it all on this card, and that scared me. I said,
"There is, I'm not going to remember it.
There is no way at 24, 23 years old, I'm going to get all of these in my mind to where I know it." And so I just started putting down some scriptures under each one. And I had a goal in my mind, what I wanted to try to do. And I didn't try to learn everything. And this is the fourth or fifth Bible that I have. But I have the Bible that I used when I surrendered. And I can go back to it and I can literally see. I just, memorized, and the engine can do this too. I memorized two or three scriptures under each of these headings. So 50 plus doctrines, I put in my mind three scriptures for each, 150 scriptures that I knew, right? And then in my Bible, that first Bible you can go back to, under that, at that scripture, I had all these references of where to go from there, right? If you look at this Bible, I don't have any written going to other verses, no more references. Because you know what? I don't need them. Now, I'm sure, give me a couple more years, and I'll be writing them again. Because I do know that it is fading fast, right? But the point is, it didn't take me forever. Within 3 years, I had those three scriptures in my heart. To where literally I could go to this passage. They had a question on, you know, angels. I could go to this scripture and talk about this angel. If we talked about the second resurrection or the judgment of nations, or literally I have most everything to do: prayers, rewards, justification, sanctification, salvation, all the parts of the judgment seat of nations and millennium hell, everything. Question on, I could go to this passage, and I had three verses. And from there, I could reference other things. And it didn't take 20 years. It took three.
Well, and while you're doing that, you also were putting yourself in situations where you had to then use the things you were learning.
Yeah.
And that's sometimes I see, whether it's a teaching at camp or at church or doing a devotional or whatever, there's a shy away from it. You know, I've never done that before. Okay, take, now you can.
Yeah, exactly. And so my point in saying this is, I don't know what your goal is, what your plan is, you know. But I do know there has to be something in place. You need something to be able to get you into that. If you're already started and you have things, great. And that's your position. But know that all we're doing is providing some information, right? We're literally where he tells his pastors to feed the flock of God. That isn't spoon feed them. You know, okay, everybody come up, put your bibs on, we're going to feed. That pastor has to teach them how to feast, right? How to do this on their own. To those tools. And so I hope that as we go through this lesson, hopefully we're realizing that I'm not wanting to teach a lesson on living faith and the doctrines and how they tie together to do this. I want us to look at, okay, how am I engaging in the scriptures so that I can walk by faith? What tools do I have in place in my life? Right? How am I growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? What methods? Because you have to have, and the more senses you can involve in this process, the easier it's going to be for you to retain it. To, like David, I hide thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You got to get it in there. To be a teacher, if you never are in a role of a teacher or pastor, you are still, be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh the hope that is in you, right? You're still in that role to have that knowledge to impart to someone else. Because that's what Brother Cooper's class is all about, being fishers of men. You have to be in that position to where you can give that answer. And you will never know what the question is going to be at times. But you have to be ready. And you may not be ready for every situation. That's okay, as long as you're preparing. So if you don't have, right? Brother Cooper, or Brother Dixon used to, he does it, did it a lot more before. But if you don't have a study time, whatnot, that is necessary, right? But what's your plan in your study time? What are you doing with that study time? Because if it's not focused, then it just becomes a time, right? I had to find a way to focus my thoughts and my studies because I wanted to prepare for this. Now, for me, it was easy because I knew when I first surrendered, it wasn't too long, or maybe whatever, that Brother Dixon and Brother Lang was ordained. I knew it was coming, right? I knew what I was going to have to face one day. And it isn't this washed down, watered down questions you guys get today. It was a little bit different. And I knew, man, that scared me. What's that?
It was violent.
Yeah, at times, exactly.
Across the room all the time.
Yes, exactly. And so I knew, and like I didn't want to be ashamed. I didn't want to stammer and stutter and not have confidence. I wanted to be able to know. And so, man, I found a way to prepare myself. Now, just because I had the knowledge didn't mean I know how to use it. Didn't mean I was wisdom in it. I think that, like the scriptures talk about, by reason of use. We have our senses exercised. The trials and the tests began to learn how to properly put all this knowledge and application, not wield it, you know, as a sword or as a hammer. But sometimes we learn when to use compassion, when to use different things. The Lord gives us that stuff. But you know what? None of that can be done until you have the knowledge itself, right? Hopefully there's something in place that you have. So my thought is, if there's not, then that's where you got to begin. That's where you got to start. How am I going to begin my process of getting all this knowledge? And no, these classes are not what I'm talking about. Sunday school, not what I'm talking about. The messages. This is at home, you and your Bible. And your references, whatever you use to get from one place to another, right? Strong's, it's you utilizing that to impart the knowledge of the wisdom of the Bible into your heart, right? You don't have to know every scripture. I don't. I know very few, memorized by heart. But there are things that you have to know. And as dads and moms, right? The quicker you get your children into that, oh, I tell you, talk about handicapping kids. We do that a lot by not putting them in this place of, no, you're going to spend this time, and then giving some of the tools, right? I want you to write down the scripture, and maybe you help them. And now I want you to begin to fill in some of these with your doctrines. And then pretty soon I'm going to ask, okay, if I asked you about hell, what's your scripture that you have memorized? Begin to question them, right? Isn't that what really Deuteronomy 6 talking about, as Israel was to deal with their children? And that's preparing them for this. But
I just can say, I know from the way that you teach that I'm assuming it's also how you study, where once you learn some doctrine stuff, you also start learning how to study it, that it's a pattern, that mm-hmm. it's something. And so that is one of the biggest keys in trying to get to where you're talking about.
Yes.
Is once you see the patterns, you see the order, you might not know all the verses, but you know that it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you find it, like, oh, this goes here, here, and pretty soon you're on this path that God has been talking about. But it's because of the effort put into searching for that path. That's mm-hmm. what Proverbs is all about. If you search for it, there's a path that's there. I just need to search for it and find it.
Exactly. And that brings us to Numbers 10 in this, because I love this lesson here, right? These silver trumpets. I'm not going to read all this, but we know the Lord told them to make these two trumpets of a whole piece out. They'll make them. We'll jump to the end. This is a picture of the scriptures, the Bible. All right? These two trumpets, Old New Testament. You can tear apart and look at all the types and the pictures, what they reveal. This is the Word of God. Right? Now, this Word of God, as he said here, when were these trumpets to be used for Israel? When were they to be used?
All different times.
It literally directed everything they did.
Times of assembly, times of war, times of backup.
Yeah, everything.
They were the signals.
Everything. Do you realize what was in the chapter before this, right before this? Mm-hmm. What did he talk to Israel about?
Called them the tabernacle, called them the cloud.
Chapter 5, yeah, chapter 9, verse 15, he talks about what they had as this cloud. And they had this cloud, pillar of cloud by day, fire by night, and it was going to lead them wherever they go and going to direct them. Well, then why do I need the trumpets? If I have the cloud that's going to direct me when to assemble, when to go, why do I need the trumpets? The cloud's going to tell me.
Not everybody's looking up.
Yeah, not everyone's looking up. And what else?
Another sense.
Yeah. Right? This spirit is going to guide. Guide me where? What was the promise of Jesus in John 14, 15, and 16, those three chapters? He will guide you
in all truth.
In all truth. Those trumpets were the truth. And this cloud, pillar of fire and cloud, was the guide. But now they needed to have distinction. They needed to have the sense. They needed to have the specifics, right? That spirit guides us. But you cannot, I'm just following the spirit. Well, what's your passage? What's your scripture? Where's the distinction? Where's the sense? Right? That's what these trumpets taught Israel. That's what, through John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus promising the Comforter to come that's going to guide us into all truth. But then, what happens if I don't hide the truth in my heart? What happens if I'm not studying the truth? Then how in the world is the Spirit going to guide us? How are we going to know, right? I think it was read, but over there in 1 Corinthians, is it the 9th chapter? No, what was it? It was 14th chapter. His brother, isn't this what somebody is reading this? Yeah, with the tongues, right? Verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophecy or by doctrine, and even things without life-giving sound? And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is pipe or harp? If the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. So he makes reference to that, right? This Old Testament, these trumpets that were used. If it gives an uncertain sound, what's going to happen? Yeah, confusion, right? Where do we go? What direction? Well, who is that for? I'm not familiar with that sound. That literally is the world, religion, and unfortunately some of God's people, when they begin to do something, quote, following the Spirit of God, and people scratch it, what are you doing? Well, because that was an uncertain sound. That's not what the scriptures are teaching. That's not what the Lord has taught us to do, right? That's why it takes that constant guarding and teaching so that we have the same, with the same mouth, we can speak the same word. We do mind the same rule. And when you see a flock, you know, that some practice this, some practice that, some teach this, and they're going different directions, and you realize, man, there's some different sounds being blown. All of them aren't the sounds of God. All of them aren't these trumpets of the Lord. And that goes back to, well, do you recognize the sounds? Do you know what the sounds should be like? That goes back to what Brother Jacob just talked about in the patterns. Because sometimes somebody may say something and you go, ooh, that sounds good. But that doesn't really fit this pattern. You couldn't. That would never raise an alarm bell if you didn't know what the pattern was supposed to be. Right? You never know. You would never understand those things. And so that's what is necessary for the studying, the going back and looking. And I do, like Brother Jacob said, I do all the time. I read something in the New Testament, whatever, and I'm going through it. And for me, if I see the reality, man, this really is a good truth, I go back and I look in the Old Testament to see the picture. And if I don't find it now, ooh, some red flags are coming up. Maybe what I thought was so great isn't really the right teaching. Because it's going to fit the pattern if it's truth. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's all going to harmonize. We just have to allow it to harmonize. 2 Corinthians 5. And I'll just read this and we'll talk about it. Verse number 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. Verse 9, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Sort of that same type of wording, well pleased unto him. Walk by faith, not by sight. This life we are to live, given to us by Christ, can't be lived by just the sense of sight or what we see. Because there are so many things about this life, this kingdom of God, that will never be seen. That will never be proved from the sense, right, of just sight. And he said there has to be something else guiding you and directing you. And that's this faith part. Because when you read the scriptures, and when I say faith, it's not just a trust or belief. What I'm really saying is what the scriptures teach. Okay? Because what the scriptures teach literally becomes, don't trust your senses all the time. Don't trust what you see to be the reality. Right? And we can go back in with Israel and see, oh yeah, that's very true. Because here, you know, go back to what we talked about last night. Did anything those 10 spies come back and say? Did they lie to Israel?
No.
Well,
they exaggerated.
A portion. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm preaching on that tomorrow.
Yeah. Careful. But you think about it, they didn't come back and lie. They saw giants. They saw this inhabited. We were as grasshoppers. They're in multitudes. What they saw was real.
Yep.
Their fears
were
real. Right?
And their faith was not.
Yes. And so they were literally walking by sight. So God told us to go look at this land, and you told us to go look and report. Here's our report.
So Caleb and Joshua were trusting in the word of God. They saw the same thing.
They saw the same thing. Yes. Yes. And that's the point. Sometimes we've got to let this faith, these doctrines, these teachings, overrule the senses. Oh, I know. Here it is. Here's all the giants. Here's the multitudes of them. But what just happened in Egypt? What was God able to overcome there? And so I know this is out here. But it's not like we have to fight them. It's not like we have to be the ones to defeat them. So, here's the land. Well, God said it was true. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. The Nathan.
And to kind of go along with that, Peter, professional fisherman, at least second generation, maybe third generation fisherman, worked it all night. There's no fish. Jesus, this carpenter guy from Nazareth, says, cast your net over there. And he's like, listen, I'm a professional fisherman. I've done this. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will. Sometimes we can't use our own understanding of life to follow Christ, but we just have to trust that God knows what's going on and that he's involved in more stuff around us than what we can see and understand.
Yes, yes. And hopefully we take that and that, you know, make it our own. Trying to think where this, maybe it's in 2 Corinthians 5. What's that?
I said maybe you should have wrote it down.
I know. Tell me about it, because I literally.
Maybe you should use your old Bible.
I know, I need it. I know what's that. For our weapons are not carnal.
First
mighty. What's that?
No, Second Corinthians 10.
10. I was in the fifth chapter. It's 10. Yeah? Yes. So, okay, Second Corinthians 10. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Okay, so again, he's talking about this living by faith, right? We live in the flesh. We walk in the flesh. We deal with the flesh. That's what we're working on. But, he says, it's not our warfare, right? We can go to Ephesians 6 chapter and realize that the warfare that we have is a spiritual warfare, right? It's not flesh and blood. And then he goes on, our weapons, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So what is carnal? Okay. What could be, when we think about how we deal in this life, what could be some of our fleshly, carnal weapons that we use?
My persuasive intellect.
Yes. My knowledge, my wisdom. Right? My wisdom. Ooh. That's fleshly. Right? My eloquence. Right? Paul talked about some of that, right? I didn't come to you speaking great swelling words and wisdom and my abilities, right? What are some of the other things that we sometimes pull out of the arsenal and use that are carnal?
My authority. Do what I tell you.
Yes, right? Pastors, especially, or maybe a teacher wielding, hey, this is what I'm teaching. You better believe. You better follow this, right? We use our power. Use our authority.
Early illustrations.
What's that?
I said worldly illustration.
Yeah, absolutely.
Use the Bible.
Yep.
The Old Testament.
Yeah. How many stories get told of the daily events or the past week or this and that to try and prove a biblical point rather than just the Bible, rather than just the Scriptures? That's what we just have. We're talking about in the examples, right? There are a lot of carnal weapons that sometimes we use that we have to be very careful. And he says, "That's the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Get rid of those. Take them out of the tool belt." But he said, "But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." What kind? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If you're a thought, there's no way I'm going to get them to believe this. And trying to teach someone, I do all the time. How am I going to get them to believe this? I mean, this has got to be a fairy tale to them. This is out of the wall stuff, but how am I ever going to get them to see the truth of this?
You're not.
Exactly! Because I'm relying on these carnal things that I have that are of no use. But what I do have, what God has given me, he said, they're mighty, so mighty to pulling down of, quote, their stronghold. Things that science has built up, God can just rip them down. Things that experience, right, has built in their life, God can just tear them down. Even the imaginations, every high thing, all these things that we think are insurmountable, the Spirit and His Word can just flick away. Mm-hmm. And you would be amazed, right? Think about it in you yourself. How much God has helped you just to knock these walls down and what you thought was so entrenched, right, in your life that these were foundations that God just in a moment flicked away and now are built up on the right foundation, some new truths that guide us. The same thing is done when we just walk by the Spirit, right, walk by faith, and not by the flesh. Get rid of those carnal weapons. You don't have to be the best spoken, most eloquent, right? You don't have to have the degree behind the name. You don't. If you just put this into your heart and allow the Spirit to lead, God will always have the preeminence, and you will be well pleased to God in your life. And so, you know that. But again, The Word of God is so necessary and crucial. You have to get it into your heart, into your mind, study it with purpose, and know that through all of that, God will give you the ability and know how to use it. right? But if you never get it in there, then what good is it to know how to use it? Don't worry about that part of it. The Lord will bring the how to use, when to use. And sometimes we struggle, sometimes we make a mess. Brother Dixon just talked about that, right? I don't know if this was the best way to do this or whatever. Well, over time he's going to learn. But he had to have it in there for God to be able to bring it out. So you and I have to diligently find a way to put these true teachings, these doctrines in our heart so that then we can live by it, right? And that be what directs us, and that be what leads us. All right. Any questions? I know I skipped some hands. We're gonna deal more in this. There's a lot more I want to get through, but hopefully the gist of it is I want us to be able to be the part that's well pleased by God, and not the sum that chose a different path, even though we all hear the same things. I'll guarantee you, even though all of us heard the same words this morning, and I'm not talking about just my class, all classes, not all of us heard the same words, right? Some have missing parts. Some hear different things, right? You ever play that game where you whisper in somebody's ear and dig down and the last person says what they heard, and the first person, that's not what I said at all. You ever play that game?
Yeah.
We don't all hear the same. Lost in translation, right? Know that the scriptures are going to give us a very certain sound. And the more we get in there with all of our senses, read it, hear it, look at it, touch it, right? The more we do that, the more ability we have to know the very certain sound, right? And not just an uncertain sound. All right, let's stand. Yes, brother.